Whoop, whoop. Alright.
That's the sound of the police.
It's the sound of the beast.
Oh man, this is second so badly.
Oh shit.
Welcome to Desert World Podcast, episode 007. This week we totally sack off, we've been watching, playing, and everything is about Daredevil. We've got some news thrown in as well, and we also have our creature feature. Thank you, Tommy, holding my hand through that intro. Good. Right, okay, sit down, put your earphones in, and enjoy.
Okay, we're going to go for reading, watching, playing first, as we usually do. However, we're going to get rid of the reading. We are going to get rid of the playing, and we are going to focus solely on the watching. And we all know what we've been watching. We've been watching Daredevil on
Dirty
Netflix.
Dirty movies
and Daredevil on Netflix. I think we can all agree that Daredevil is such a massive success of a show that Netflix have brought out. Guys.
Absolutely.
I agree.
It's chronicling for people that aren't really familiar with Daredevil, which I would imagine is a fair deal of people, to be honest with you. It's chronicling a blind lawyer named Matt Murdock who
has extrasensory powers
who, and he's developed them. Spray it again. He's developed them over the course of his life, and this is basically him culminating in becoming Daredevil. And it's, aside from anything else, it's just really, really well done by Marvel. Really, really well done, and it's head and shoulders above the rest of the competition at the moment. And
it's everything you like about a TV show. It's the good stuff from all the good TV shows that you've seen. Not all of them, but the things you enjoy about a TV show, it's got them, but it just happens to be a superhero
TV show. One thing about it as well that I liked, and it's quite evident from the start, is it's a hell of a lot darker than any other.
It's the first thing that's rated like a 15. There's a scene where, well, it's going to be spoilers anyway. This is spoiler filled
because for anybody that's listening this week, this is spoiler filled, and for anybody else that's listening in about a year's time when you're actually going to probably start listening to this podcast, just, you already know all this shit anyway, so it's, don't worry about it.
Season 2's on any.
Season 3's underway. Announced for season 4, and he's going to be in Avengers 3, so there you go.
So on the back, episode 2, is episode 2 the beginning, episode 2 in the bow and alley? Whatever episode it is, anyway, when I watched that whole scene, I was just like, isn't a Marvel show.
And
this
that's the greatest thing about it being Marvel. It's so far removed from anything that Marvel has done so far, but at the same time,
I was watching it, and I was like, holy shit, I mean, the guy, like, you see the bone coming out the boy's arm and all that sort of stuff, right? I was like, this is really graphic.
He hammers him to death
with a bowling ball.
Yeah.
At the same time, if, like the rumours are telling, this is going to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is Daredevil a little bit too dark to fit into that?
I don't think so. Charlie Cox, who did, quite frankly, like a wonderful job playing Matt Murdock and Daredevil, I think he could potentially be the first of any of the sort of the TV type characters that could transcend TV to film. And I say that with the possible exception of Green Arrow.
I think Stephen Amell could do it, but I don't think DC are going to give him a chance, which is a bit silly.
I agree, because they've got so much background and whatever. He could essentially do it, because let's face it, Green Arrow's not going to have a huge role to play.
But Charlie Cox has done such a good job of being Daredevil that you could quite happily believe that there might be a cameo for Daredevil now in the Avengers, and you would be I personally would be disappointed if there isn't,
because you're a fan of the show, and the same thing can be said for people who are a fan of Arrow, like we are. We watch Arrow, Greg, and
I don't.
And when when DC do the Justice League film and it's not Arrow, who's Green Arrow, you're gonna be like, well, he's shit.
Even if he's not, he would have to be stellar, really.
Because
is he going to be in it though?
I don't know. I don't think he's going to be in it. The Flash is definitely going to be in it, but
yeah, I know. Anyway,
and that's one of the biggest compliments that you could give Charlie Cox about it. He's played Daredevil in such an amazing way that you you fully buy into his character and you fully root for him throughout, whether he's Matt Murdock, the Devil of Hell's Kitchen, the masked guy, or at the end Daredevil, whatever.
Do you know what I liked about it? It was the fact that he's not Ben Affleck.
And that's the first and last time they will ever mention that film.
Oh, really?
There you go. So moving on from that part, there's so much good story to, and Tommy being a massive fan of Daredevil, I think it's only appropriate that we come to you for saying how closely does this fit to the stories in the comic and how well is he portrayed on the screen.
The core of the characters are extremely well represented. What the characters do, how they act, and the stories that they're in are tonally the same kind of stories, but it is a completely different story. Like, I can't say they ripped off this story. I can't say it's based on that story.
Is that a big mixture?
Yeah, it's just kind of a mixture. Like, they've kind of got the basic gist. Like, it's kind of like they know the characters through reading the comics and therefore interpret it in a different way.
Follows a lot of the Man Without Fear.
Absolutely does the origin story that Frank Miller did.
For me, the show as a whole has been, I enjoyed it so much that it's like compulsive viewing. And I was trying to stop myself from watching more than two at a time. And for me, it's been like the most engaging and engrossing show since Breaking Bad. It's just been that good.
I'm going to butt in on the back of that.
Okay.
Is this going to be negative, Greg?
Aye, it will be.
Gold, cynical Greg.
Fuck off. No, what I'm going to say in the back of that was, again, this comes down to the whole thing I was battering on about, was the fact that I don't like the fact that it was all released at once. I recently watched them, which we're focused on earlier in the podcast, so go back and listen. Better Call Saul was released one at a time, Better Call Saul, and you basically watched it, you had your episodes, you got up to date with it, great. This was just like, right, there's fucking 13 episodes, smash your way through it, and I felt like I was under pressure, mostly for this podcast, to watch.
It was me and Richard were powering away of our own.
Like, have you watched Daredevil yet? I was like, no, not yet. I'm on episode 12. I was like, brilliant. I've got fucking 12 hours of just watching it.
Man, it's so good.
We did make you watch it.
And I felt that kind of took away some of the enjoyment from it. Like I say, I fell asleep watching it a few times.
Disgusting.
I don't know what it was. I liked it, but I think I really liked it more spoon fed to me rather than just like sort of dumped on my doorstep. Being like, bosh! There you go, have a shot at this. Also, as well, that's it finished. That's what I think earlier on. That's it finished, right? You've watched it all in, what, 1 or 2 days. So then you're going to have to wait longer for season 2 to come out. Whereas if they've shot it and released it, I'm not going to watch it again. Fuck that.
Well, you could watch it once a week now.
But I don't know what happens.
Watch it again?
No.
Alright, okay. Anyway,
it doesn't dilute my enjoyment watching it all at once. Or one episode a week, whichever way it came out, I think I would have still enjoyed it as much.
I would have enjoyed it more.
I would agree.
The delivery system is not, you know, you can't start taking points off for.
It's not. Point. I never mentioned taking points off of Tommy.
It's not the show's fault how Netflix delivered it. However,
fuck you.
Moving on to the moving back to the actual show. Moving back to
Kingpin.
The actual show, you've got
just Kingpin.
Yeah, we've got Kingpin.
You've got Kingpin, who is some guy who played him. I don't know, I've never seen him in anything.
That boy's in Jurassic World, apparently.
Is he?
Yeah, that's a wee fact for you.
Well, there you go. Thanks for that, we'll come back on it later.
Never saw him in anything else before this.
He's one of the most sort of complex and character-oozing bad guys that I've seen in a long time in any sort of TV show. However, he's not quite the finished article for me. There's just that something about him that he's just a guy at the moment. He's not Kingpin, and that's what's moving. That's what I think they'll be moving to in the next season of it. Mm. But at the moment, he's just not. He doesn't seem that effective.
On the back of that,
he's good, but he doesn't seem hugely effective.
On the back of that, I was watching it and I was kind of like, why is he so powerful? Why does he have this hold over everybody? There's nothing that makes him special.
Well, he's not the Kingpin yet. He's working with these other families.
Aye.
So he's still pretty powerful. He's not like the top mob boss.
No, I know he's not, but it's just.
I think it's because he really played it. He underplayed it, the guy. He underplayed the part. He was soft spoken. He had these big size and breasts between his lines and stuff like that. He really seemed like he was a man who was under
fed
pressure.
He seemed like
he was under pressure, but that's when he did kick off and he did let loose and he did go psycho,
which was brilliantly portrayed in the flashbacks to his childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it kind of seemed more real. Like it was like, oh, yeah, that man's just snapped.
Yeah, and he seemed like a child. I think it seemed like when he was
articulate.
He was really shy, yeah, and he was quite like sort of. He'd apologised an awful lot for somebody who I thought was a bad guy. Kind of someone was like, oh, it's not going right. He'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. And blah. And he seemed like a child, like losing his temper.
He's got to pander to these other families as well, the heads of these other families. So while stuff was going on and things were getting messed up, he was downplaying his own intelligence as well to them.
Of course,
and stuff.
Although, that's one thing I want to say, the whole downplaying the intelligence thing, right? His assistant Wesley, translates all of the Japanese and Chinese.
Yes. Uh-huh.
However, the first scene that he meets the Chinese lassie, sitting and just blabbering away in Chinese, right? Wesley never, ever, ever translates what she says, but Kingpin responds to her, and he actually gives her answers. And then later on, she goes, oh, he goes, oh, you speak English, or you speak Chinese? Like, oh, of course you did, they answered
you. He answered you. But he did...
Yeah, he said that later on in the series though. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying. But
well, maybe that was the tell. Maybe that's how she knew.
Maybe
that's how she knew that he spoke her language.
Or maybe it's just a plot hole.
Or maybe it's an oversight in Greg's nitpicked it.
Damn fucking right I have. I've watched every single episode of Daredevil 5 times in slow-mo to get...
And I've found all the faults. Don't test me because I know them all.
Don't test me.
There's other parts that we're missing, which we'll come to now. Let's talk about the fight scenes, and let's talk in particular about the very first fight scene that would have grabbed your attention as a Daredevil fan, which would have been in episode 2.
Yeah.
Well, that was the best bit. There was
watched that about 2 or 3 times. It's absolutely phenomenal. The camera work, the way he sort of comes around the corner, and he just looks badass. There's no other way to describe it. Like, and in his costume as he was, like the masked man, devil of Hell's Kitchen, he looked badass when he came around that corner. And
such
he just,
a long scene as well.
And it was one shot. It looks like it's just one shot as well.
I kept waiting for it to end and for it to, because I was enjoying it. And I was like, oh my god, it's still going on. And I was like, yeah, it's going to end soon, though. And it just didn't, and it kept going and going.
It totally set the precedent. There was a fight scene in the first episode as well, but the second episode was like, wow, man. It's just a brawl. It's a total brawl.
Well,
it's not like Daredevil's on the scene, punches a guy out, like, in a second. Like, in one punch, he's knocked out, and then he stands, like, kind of with his hands and sips.
But there was
that was one thing
that's
chest extended and stuff like that. Every fight scene as well, apart from the last one where it's between Daredevil costumed and Kingpin, where there's some exposition type stuff going on, where both of them are kind of shouting and talking at each other while they're fighting. A lot of the fight scenes are just like, show up and they kick the shit out of each other, and nobody's like, stop, get him, that's him over there, that guy, that man, go get him.
It's but like, that's just like fighting,
there's just total like you would imagine a film, a fight like to go down.
That's one of the super cool things about it as well. It's like when you're watching scenes like that one from episode 2, when they're just beating the shit out of each other. It's not like it's like you can see them sort of pause for breath, and you can see them as one of them's been knocked down, and Matt Murdock is just kind of like, oh god, right, fuck, here we go again. And you can see him, he's obviously like, he's not struggling, but you can just see how a real fight would, it seems like
it comes across more realistic.
Yeah, and it's fantastic in that way. And that was one of the things that made me think that, along with the bit where Matt Murdock goes into the gym in one of the early episodes and he's punching a punch bag, he looks so much like Captain America in that scene. It's, and the way that Captain America fights as well in The Winter Soldier, those two alongside, like film Captain America and TV Daredevil, would make you think he could definitely do it on the big screen.
Yeah.
Charlie Cox could
also
definitely do that.
Captain America's reference in it as well.
Ah, yes, it's
Foggy.
Big Foggy.
Foggy
makes
a reference to watch Captain America, which I was quite excited about. I was like, oh,
my god, and Thor as well. Another thing that I was thinking about as well was Charlie Cox's accent is phenomenal, and that maybe one of the drawbacks is that I was maybe looking a bit too into it, but it was like you can hear his Irish accent come through every now and again. But so you didn't hear it.
I don't think he could. I didn't even know, because Boardwalk Empire, we both watched that, and he's Irish in that.
Yeah.
And I thought he was actually English in real life, and he was using an Irish accent in
English
that.
Because of Stardust.
Yes. So he's using an English accent in that. So.
Again, a massive compliment to Charlie Cox.
He's from Paisley. I made that up.
I was literally looking at you there like, you should have made the fucking little ladder.
Nah, I made that up.
I've seen him in a chippy on a Friday night.
And he's a bit leery.
He can really fight like that. He can batter shit out of
him. There's...
Yeah, he had a sock over his eyes.
He's absolute quality. But yeah, there's... Wilson Fisk is... He's a confident old guy, and it's moving on to Kingpin that I reckon season two will be going to.
I quite enjoyed the duality between the protagonist, the main protagonist, and the main antagonist.
You need to stop with these words, Tommy. Right? No, good day and bad day.
No, I'm on a roll here. Right, so Kingpin and Daredevil, straight from the jump, like they had both the trailers. There was two Daredevil trailers.
I've seen this. This is good. It was clever.
It was clever, wasn't it? And it's like both talking like a voiceover over scenes of them doing quite violent and brash, exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. But they were both like declaring their ownership of the city for different reasons.
Yeah.
Which is a theme which runs through the season. Which is they both, Matt Murdock and Kingpin, Daredevil versus Kingpin, they both feel like the city is theirs, and they're both kind of fighting over ownership of it. It makes them very similar for different reasons, and there's other similarities as well which I've noticed and I quite enjoyed, in that they both have lost their fathers in very different ways, obviously.
That's a good point.
Oh man,
They were both growing up in violent environments as well, and they're both very angry, violent men. I mean, Daredevil is as violent as Kingpin, if not more, and he would go as far as to say that he actually enjoyed the violence. I mean, I know he's a hero, but he's flawed. He's like one of those noir heroes.
Yeah.
He is slightly flawed.
Of course he's flawed. He's blind.
But he's not that blind.
I'm coming back to that. Yeah. I'm coming back to this, Tommy.
I want to touch on that quickly, Tommy. That's a great, great point as well about both of them losing their dads, because that's something that's touched on in separate instances within the show, where you see Matt Murdock loses his dad, and it's kind of heartbreaking in a way, because Matt Murdock just wanted to see his dad win, and because he wanted to see his dad win, he died. And Wilson Fisk was sticking up for his mum, and you can think of them in both in that as kids. You think of them, but they've actually come from similar backgrounds.
They should be pals.
They should be pals.
They should be violent pals. The people who
maybe that's what season two of Daredevil will be called.
Like violent them pals. Like that.
Only first guy, no bad one. Let's go smash some Wendy's. Do you notice? I noticed this is again really pernickety, but did you notice that there was a Boardwalk connection with Fisk's dad? I'm pretty sure it's a boy who played Al Capone's brother in Boardwalk, which I quite liked because Charlie Cox from Boardwalk.
Pretty cool.
Well, there you go.
I got excited about that.
I've never seen Charlie Cox in anything, but I was like, I think that was actually better for me because it was like, man, he's Daredevil.
See, the thing is, I agree with that, but in the same way, I have seen Charlie Cox in other things, and I still believe that he's Daredevil, which I think is an awesome point, because for me, he's always been, what's the fuck his name in Boardwalk, Owen someone. For me, he's always been the guy from Boardwalk.
Right.
Like, even when I watch Stardust, he's the Irish boy from Boardwalk who pumps his missus. That's another spoiler. Anyway.
You're spoiling stuff that we... Another wee thing that I want to touch on, because we're running out of wee time on this section. There's two things I want to touch on. One thing that I was really super disappointed with was Ben Urich dying, because
I quite agree with that. It was a very shocking death when it happened in like the 10th episode or something like that. And Ben Urich is a massive character in
he's
the comics.
He's a Jim Gordon too.
You could say that. I wonder. Yes. Yeah. You could say Jim Gordon's Daredevil's Jim Gordon is Ben Urich in the comics.
Yeah, and seeing him being killed, I was really disappointed with that because I thought he would, the guy who played him and Ben Urich as a character were both both fantastic within the series, and it was just such an opportunity I felt to miss out killing him and just carry on with him in the series as being a character and.
But when that happened. When it happened, like, it's a spoilery, very spoilery, but Kingpin's there, he's like, well, you said some bad stuff about my mum, or to my mum about me, or you don't talk about my mum, or
you
whatever.
You slag my ma.
And then he's like, grabbing him and he's strangling him, and I was like, Daredevil's going to jump in.
That's what I thought.
Daredevil will be here in a second. He's still strangling him. His shoes are falling off or whatever happens to him. I was like, getting quite frantic. I was like, any second now, Daredevil better show up or Ben Urich. And then he dies and I was like, shit, man. Yeah. He actually was like,
he actually died.
I was like, they're holding nothing back.
What
are
they doing? Yeah, from the thing is, I've not read much of Daredevil, so I don't know. But from someone who didn't know who Ben Urich really was, from watching a TV show, I thought it was really obvious he was going to die.
Did they set him up? Did you set him up as a character? Did you think that?
I thought that as well. I was hoping so much that they wouldn't. I thought that they would maybe, like, when Wilson Fisk turned up in his room, I thought he was just going to give him a really strong warning.
That's not his style.
I know, but that's just kind of felt a bit. But that was disappointing.
You're not fairy tales and rainbows, aren't you?
Shut up. Beyond that, Ben Urich as a character was really good and he helped. He helped to build a lot of tension within the newspaper they worked for, with the FBI coming in and arresting people who his boss
did not think were involved in
Wilson Fisk paying off the media and stuff like that, and he was great. But one of the other things that quickly want to touch on before we move on is, as well, Marvel's continuity,
mm-hmm.
which was Ben Urich was a central point of that, when you saw him talking to his boss and you could see behind him two framed pictures of a battle in Harlem, which was Hulk versus Abomination, and obviously the Battle of New York.
Yep. The thing that's referenced, and he also had a picture behind his desk and it was like a newspaper clipping and there was just some building was kind of crumbling and there was some smoky stuff coming off it.
Yeah.
But that's all it takes
to get you excited.
For you to connect, to join the dots in your head, you're like,
fucking nerd boner.
See what? Yeah. I paused it on that when he's holding the newspaper. I paused it and I was like, that looks like that big fucking monster thing for the Avengers. And I was like, no, it doesn't. And I was like, yeah, in my head it does.
It's almost literally like a screenshot from the film where the thing like dies of it and then it crumbles on it.
It's like a shady kind of photograph of somebody who was there.
I like the fact that it made a roundabout reference. It was like, oh, hundreds die in New York battle, as opposed to aliens come along and kill everyone.
It's just really refreshing in that it doesn't take. You don't have to have
spoon fed
post credit exactly. The post credit scene where people are talking about other people whose names are superheroes who aren't here, and we're talking about them, but we are not in the film, but we're kind of talking. You know, it's just like.
It did tie it together,
but not in a way that it didn't need to be massively tied together.
No, I agree.
It just needed these little connections, and you're like, right, cool, it's doing its own thing, but it's part of the same thing.
I think that's a perfect way to sum it up as well. Like, Daredevil is doing its own thing.
Absolutely.
And it's so far removed from all of the other superhero TV shows and films. It is its own thing, and you would hope that Netflix or Marvel Studios or whoever else takes note of how Daredevil was done and moves on from there. We're literally going to wrap up now, but one final thing
just before we wrap up, I want to leave it on this. He is not blind enough.
Right, we'll move on from there. Offensive.
Matt Murdock is not blind enough. There's also not enough Matt Murdock in the show, but
and he's super convincing as a lawyer, but there you go.
There's also not enough Bullseye.
I'll make this point now. We have already recorded this section, but it's well, my laptop deleted it. So Tommy's had some amazing points, and we've just stolen a bunch of them. So what we'll do now is we're going to go and see that Daredevil as a whole is a solid.
Can we rate it? Can we all rate it?
Let's all rate it. Like Greg, start.
I'll go for 8 out of 10.
Yeah, let's start at the bottom. That's fair.
I'm going for 4 out of 10. No, I'm a solid 8.5 to 9. I can't make it.
That's not much better than me.
No, it's not really.
Solid 8.5 to 9. I can't.
I'm going to do a 9.5, and yeah, that's a 9.5.
So anyone that's listening to this that hasn't watched it, fucking watch it. What the fuck are you doing with your life? God Almighty. Ugh.
You got a bell?
I haven't got a bell. What I'm going to do is I'm going to copy and paste in a bell from another show.
Ding, 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 ding.
And here we go. It's time for some news. Like a wee... As a bulletin. And we're going to talk about what we've looked at in the last couple of weeks, entertainment-wise. I think there's only one place to start here. And since the last time that we've recorded, a trailer has come out.
Yep.
And we're going to have to talk about it.
Yep.
The Star Wars trailer. And we're going to give it our Desert Wales appropriate review and just move straight on to Daredevil being given season 2 on Netflix. What do we think about that?
I haven't seen the Star Wars trailer.
That we're not talking about.
Alright, okay.
That was the joke.
Alright, okay.
That's fine.
Sarah Rich!
I thought we're bringing that up and then something. No, I'm not a fag.
Well, that's it. That's why we're moving. That's why we're glazing straight over it onto the next piece of information. That did not go down well, did it? Daredevil has been.
I'm with you, man.
The Daredevil season 2 though was like almost a given. Mm. When first you watched a couple of episodes of Daredevil season 1, it was a given, man. It was always going to happen.
The way that they marketed it, the way that they pitched it to everybody was it was going to be like the Marvel film. Build up, everybody's got their independent season, the four characters who are then going to be in one film. I don't know if it's going to be a straight to Netflix film or a film.
Oh, it's going to be an actual film.
The way they pitched it was going to be like Daredevil, they'd have a season, and then Luke Cage,
they'd have
a season, and then Jessica Jones.
Iron Fist
is one of them.
Ah, yeah.
And Jessica Jones is one of them, and I don't know the exact order, but
just
and then
Ennis.
They would all come together the same way that all the individual Captain America and Iron Man and Thor films came together, and they would be the Defenders, so it'd be like street level team doing whatever they do in a film. I don't know if it would be straight to Netflix or a feature film or
either way what. it would still be
the
views. That's another like fucking.
But that,
3 hours
I would prefer if they just stayed away from that formula that the films make billions on, and they just concentrated on storytelling and story and characters and stuff like that, and that they can do what they've done with the first Daredevil season, and they can do it with all the characters, and then they can just kind of carry on. I mean, I don't want to see. I love Justified, the TV show.
Oh, right, I haven't watched it.
It's fucking brilliant, man. I don't want to see a Justified movie. You know, I don't want to go and see that because it would be crap. I want to see the in-depth character studies and the really in-depth kind of cool stories.
Because they talked about making films for other things, and I'm like, but why? Because TV shows are just longer films. They can put more into a TV show.
Absolutely, that's why TV's taken over. But they don't make as much money. But it's certainly where the creative people go now.
Yeah,
I think so.
I mean, we're obviously all pumped for Daredevil season 2, and I think moving on from that onto another trailer that we've seen recently that's likely going to be just ignore the cat noises. There's going to be another film that comes out soon that's basically going to have a couple of characters and that maybe not everybody knows too much about in depth character study wise, and that is the real deal, the Batman versus Superman trailer. Gentlemen, start your engines.
I seen the sort of leaked version first, you know, when it's all like in Spanish or like the Spanish subtitles or whatever. I seen the first trailer for it, watched it. I didn't know what to think of it.
If I was honest, I would imagine that's the way that a lot of people felt. I was the same. I watched it and thought to myself, I should be really pumped about this. But I'm not. From watching the trailer, and I'm sure there's obviously going to be a bit of backlash here from Tommy on this, but it's
not necessarily. This is commercially, it doesn't, you know, throw everything, man.
No, at all. I mean, it's when you watch that trailer, the biggest thing that's coming out of it for me is that it was really vague. It's as if you have
still
to, you
has
have
10
to
months
know.
Though until it's released.
Yeah, but it's as if you really have to know exactly what's going on between the characters. Like, I got a text from one of my pals who's not quite like quite anywhere near as.
He has a life. He's not.
Life, and he's just not quite as into comic books. And he's just like, I noticed that Batman and Superman are going to be knocking fuck out of each other on the big screen. What's up with that? When did they start? Like, start not liking each other, and you're just kind of thinking like to yourself, actually, that's not a bad point. They haven't ever touched on that on the big screen. So,
but Batman's never been in that whole, because it's, I read it's the thing, on the internet the other day, it's strictly not a Man of Steel sequel.
That's it. It was Henry Cavill that said that as well.
It's another direction.
It's going to be like, well, they're going to introduce Aquaman.
Yep.
For a definite, because I've seen the poster.
Wonder Woman.
Aye.
And
apparently Cyborg as well, or he's going to be in Justice League, or he's going to be, he's already been cast and rumoured.
Cyborg's got
Will Smith that's playing him.
That's not.
I thought, no, but he's
not. True.
I was going to say, for fuck's sake, he's playing Deadshot. He's worse than Ryan Reynolds. Cyborg, you could have Cyborg in a film, and it wouldn't be a major part.
Do you know what, man? See the back of that, right? There was
happily, and I don't think Cyborg fans would be like, for fuck's sake, oh my god, they only got 5 minutes of screen time.
I would. Do you know what? Like, even if Cyborg only got five minutes of screen time, I would still kind of be like, at least he was there. I don't mind.
If Aquaman comes in it and he's in it for like maybe a scene, two scenes, whatever, I'd be happy. As long as they touch on him.
Let's face it, that's the way it needs to be. Because it's the film's name. Is Batman versus Superman. It has lost the tag Dawn of Justice. They're not using that anymore. It's now just Batman versus Superman.
It's like
so
just sedge with that, isn't it? Boosh.
If they allude to Wonder Woman being there, if they allude to Aquaman being there, and if they allude to any other characters, Cyborg, Doomsday even, who is a Justice League bad guy,
has he been confirmed, Doomsday?
I don't think so. To be honest, this is another thing that was confusing about the trailer, when you heard, which is apparently Batman's voice overdubbed saying like, "Tell me, do you bleed?"
Yes, I got a wicked boner when they said that.
I thought that would be Doomsday. I genuinely thought it was Doomsday that was actually saying that, and I kind of thought, I'm confused. Is Batman even more gravelly than Christian Bale made him there?
I think it's because he had his armour on though. That's the worst of it, because you've seen his eyes lighting up, you've seen the big sort of like the chin strap thing, and I thought he had some sort of like power armour shield. Because let's face it, if he goes against Superman with spandex on, he's going to get shafted.
Oh,
Richard.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, overall, I thought it was a bit of a clusterfuck of a trailer, to be honest with you.
There's one thing,
didn't it do what trailers are supposed to do? Didn't it intrigue you?
No.
Didn't it make you excited for the film?
No. It was almost as if they went the way of Man of Steel. I loved Man of Steel. I thought it was a great film. But they went the way of Man of Steel, where they just thought to themselves, right, okay, get Superman on screen, darken it a bit, add a bit more effect, more rain, more grey clouds. No, actually, make them black clouds. Make the whole trailer like that. Cool, right, it's just dark now. Fine, go. And...
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. That's
Man of Steel was dark, though.
Man of Steel was a dark film.
Because he kills Zod.
Yeah, but I mean...
Spoilers, but, you know. But he does, and that's fucking dark, because Superman never killed anybody in the comics.
At the same time, though, I think it's got... I think trailers, as far as Batman and Superman, they've got a wee bit more to do. And I'm going to go and watch it anyway. They could bring out the worst trailers in the world for that. I'm still going to go and see it. But it's just, it needs to do that just that little bit more.
Do you think it's because of the type of film it is, though? Like, when you watch it, it just strikes me as the same sort of style as like The Watchmen. What's his face's making?
Zack Snyder.
So do you think it is?
Watchmen was quality.
Watchmen was a great film. It was a great film. But if you ask anybody, do you like that style or the Avengers? Everyone's like, oh, I love the Avengers film.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they do. But I mean, like, because
I love the Avengers, but also love the Watchmen. Watchmen was amazing.
I like the Watchmen.
You can't mess with it. Like,
the Watchmen was great, and I wouldn't disagree with the Watchmen being great. But at the same time, it's like it takes that whole kind of dark, serious tone, and I don't think a lot of folk kind of. I think if you're going to take that dark, serious tone, you can't have a character who flies about in a red and blue suit.
But you're basing that on the Christopher Reeve films. And Christopher Reeve's films are gone now. The Man of Steel films.
Is that
like the Man of Steel film wasn't like you know he wasn't like the big blue Boy Scout.
No, it was
dark and edgy. So that's where the platform is from.
I want this to work. I really want the DC stuff to work. Whether or not it does, I'm skeptical. But there's one thing that was missing from the trailer which I think could play a major part, and that was Lex Luthor. Like, he was not in it at all.
There's one trailer I've seen, I swear it's been leaked and taken off the internet since. I don't know where it's come from, but I've seen a trailer with Lex Luthor, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman all in it.
I swear to God
I've seen one.
Is this the one where they've all had that big orgy thing?
That's the one, and they were all right in the carousel.
And Greg was in it as well, probably.
And Greg was there, and he was like, "You're serving ice cream."
I handed him towels.
I swear, balloons. But I think it's a little bit more to do, and we're all going to be pumped for the film anyway. It's going to happen. Moving on to the next part of news, another sort of full length Jurassic World. Trailer has come out.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was skeptical about the first trailer because I said to you, oh my god, I can't believe he controls raptors. This trailer, oh hello. a couple of cats destroying everything. This trailer literally started with Chris Pratt training raptors. Yeah. And I was like, this is basically started with the bit that I didn't like. So instantly I lost my attention. However, in saying that, the rest of it looked quite cool. It did actually look alright. I'm going to go and see it. It's a Jurassic Park film. You have to go and see it. It's like law.
There was a very cool part in it that I thought that there was quite a cool line. It was something along the lines of, we've noticed that every time we've got a bigger monster in, the crowds have increased. And it's kind of like, no shit. And there is a really, really cool part in it, where it's the sea monster thing. I forget its name. It's like it's almost like a cross between
Nessie,
a giant fucking shark and a crocodile, and it eats like half a great white or something like that, and it just looks amazing. And there's a kid in the audience who just goes, that was super cool, or whatever, and it's kind of like
bulk standard response. Right. That's what you would do.
And that's like, it's getting so what's the word for it? People
generic.
Just get so generic used to it that now it's getting to the point for the audience within that Jurassic Park universe. These things can't hurt me because they're just attractions.
I agree with that
because it's weird because like, you remember seeing all the Jurassic Parks before this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the three Jurassic Park films, you saw them or saw them in the cinema or saw them in the house or something like that. So then this is like a reboot, refresh thing, but they still feel the need to up the ante, and it has to be a Jurassic World. Because it can't just be like the same.
It has to be
be the park anymore. Because we did the park, so it has to be bigger and better and badder and blah blah blah.
And then
kids that are like fucking 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever up to sit and go, oh my god, this is cool.
Yeah. But in the same sense, what you've said is, I always felt that was like that kid saying like, oh, this is cool, but like being like really bland about it. It's like essentially what we're thinking now. We've seen the T-Rex, we've seen the raptor, we've seen everything. Like, and it is essentially like, oh, it's now a Jurassic Park film, so you're like, right, okay, I've seen it, blah, blah,
what's
blah,
different
blah,
about
none,
it? Oh,
none, yeah, exactly, none kind of shocks me, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that sort of sums up how you're meant to feel about it, mm-hmm. I think, anyway.
The good thing about the originals was, like, it was the first time you've seen, it wasn't real life, but it was the first time you've seen these dinosaurs walking around.
Yeah.
Before you get documentaries on fucking the BBC now about dinosaurs walking around.
Walking dinosaurs.
That's what it's called. Real as fuck.
But that's another good point. That's another really good point where it's taken away the danger a little bit, and then halfway through, presumably Jurassic World is going to reintroduce that danger that if they were real,
that'll still eat you.
They'd fuck you up. They would fuck you up. So again, that's another thing. Tommy, there's a comic you wanted to talk about. There's a comic related feature you wanted to talk about.
There is a comic related feature I'd like to talk about if we have enough time.
There's absolutely enough time.
It might not take 2 minutes. It might take longer than
that. Good comment,
yeah. Right. So there's this big thing where during the week there was an announcement that Valiant Comics have made a deal with Sony, a 5-picture deal, where they're going to take 2 of their licensed characters and they're going to do 2 standalone films with these 2 licensed characters, and then they're going to do sequels of the standalone films.
Already designed sequels, right, okay.
And they will culminate in a 5th film, which will be a coming together.
That's like crossover. Right, okay.
Much in the way of the Marvel films and the build-up and the crossover type thing. What's interesting about this is Valiant Comics have got no characters you know and no characters you recognise. I don't recognise them. I've never read or...
Yeah, you texted me this the other night and I was just like, yeah, cool. I have no idea what the fuck this is.
Is this the... This is Moon Knight, maybe?
Nope.
Is it, no, who is
no, that's pretty cool. That's like a second... That's like a B-side... that's like a B-team Marvel group that you sent over.
Right, this is a B-team Marvel group with Moon Knight, yep. Punisher, Ghost Rider and...
Blade.
And Blade.
That's no, like B-team. B-team's a better because...
Punisher should totally have his own show on Netflix.
Fucking right, yeah.
He should have his own show on Netflix.
That would be so sweet.
But this thing is like a Valiant Comics... Right, a brief history of Valiant Comics is the 2 guys from Marvel kind of went away and made their own company. In the 90s, like the mid-90s, started their own company called Valiant Comics, introduced their own characters. There was about 8 or 10 different titles. And then, it was like 89, or the start of the 90s anyway, when they started it. In the big boom, the big comics boom in the mid-90s, where everybody was buying 1 million copies of fucking X-Men number 1 or whatever that was coming out, they sold the company to Acclaim Entertainment, who make video games.
Oh, cool.
You've heard them? Yeah.
And Acclaim Entertainment then, they got the licenses for the characters. I'm guessing the 2 guys from Marvel made an absolute fucking fortune. And then over the next kind of 10 years, they released, like, Turok the Dinosaur Hunter.
Yeah.
Was a fucking Valiant character before it was a video game.
No way.
Shit, you know.
Fucking really?
Shit, you fucking know.
Shit on your brain.
No,
you
know, I
never knew that.
2 of those games.
I never knew that.
There was quite a few games, wasn't it? 2 games.
I think there was at least 2 that I can remember on the N64. Is that right, Ron?
Yeah, kids that are listening, that's an ancient machine where the controller still had cables that went.
Yeah, that's like a Wii with buttons.
that's pretty fucking cool. But there you go.
Right, so Acclaim took the characters and they bought the characters. And then they made some video games and they brought some comics out, and eventually the whole thing kind of died off in the mid-2000s. Somebody else, some young, smart-minded people came along and they bought the licenses from Acclaim. And over the past 3 or 4 years, they've re-released and republished Valiant Comics. So they've taken the same characters, and they've taken mid-level guys from Marvel and DC, mid, not the top guys.
Aye, okay.
Yeah.
They've taken mid-level guys from Marvel and DC, creators and artists, and they've paid them better than they were getting paid at Marvel and DC, and they've gave them 100% creative freedom.
Oh, that's cool.
Over these characters.
That's cool, actually.
And they've said to them, just make fucking good comics. And that was like 3 or 4 years ago. And their comics I've never read one, I've got to be honest. Never read
one. They were so good I haven't read
them. But they're critically acclaimed, like everybody loves them. And it's been gathering speed and momentum. So as they only started off with like 2 titles, like 3 or 4 years ago, and then they've just built on it and built on it and built on it. So now they've got like 8 or 10 titles again, the same level that Valiant was at before they got bought over by Acclaim.
That's cool.
But now they've done this deal with Sony. Sony, who technically don't have any Marvel rights anymore. I don't know. I mean, Spider-Man is going to be part of the
They still
Marvel
have Spider-Man, kind
of. I mean, is that some kind of palm-off where, like, Marvel will... Marvel and Sony exchange...
He's on loan.
Yeah.
He's on loan. He's a loan deal. A loan deal. Yeah.
I think that's what it is. But that's a cool idea, because essentially that's them getting their hands on a whole new sort of universe, if you like.
Absolutely. No, that's
clever from them.
Absolutely. And the guys, the two guys who bought the licenses like 4 years ago and said, just fucking make good comics.
Are laughing now.
Absolutely laughing.
They're laughing their way to the bank. Well, another film that's going to be laughing its way to the bank, no matter how good or bad it is. Bad's probably not a fair way to describe it. It'll be Avengers 2, which we'll cover within the next 30 seconds, because it's only come out today. So, our expectations, in a couple of words?
Huge.
My expectations are huge. I really hope it's as good as I hope it is.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair representation to make. And speaking of potential monster hits, we're going to move on to our next little section here, which is all about monsters. Ding, 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 ding. This is our creature feature.
Creature,
the desert
creature.
Whales creature feature. We were thinking about the best monsters that we've seen within the last, I don't know, well, within our
lifetime,
lives, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just basically a discussion between us to see. There's some cool monsters.
Yes.
People have had great imaginations throughout creativity within the last 30 years.
Monsters are one of those things where, you know, oh, monsters, what's your best monster? You don't think right away, because monsters are ingrained in a lot of different media.
Absolutely.
And they're not called monsters, they're just there.
Yeah.
And you don't kind of go, that's a creature, or that's a monster, or that's something like that. It's
I
just
also find that a lot
alien
of monster shit.
Or
well, there
horror stories, all the kind of horror story stuff, or whatever else. So,
well, also,
let's have a
it
talk
depends
about
on what
it,
you
right.
interpretate
right.
monster being as well.
Well, let's dive.
That's pretty in. Deep, Greg.
I know.
We're going to
my
dive.
Dad
that's
was a monster.
Pretty deep, Greg.
He was.
Let's dive straight into Tommy, first monster.
The one I wanted to pick was the one that has the one that has scared me probably the most in the last at least 5 years was a game series that I played on Xbox called Dead Space.
Dead Space.
I don't know.
I started Dead Space 2, and that's where I wanted to leave it. Dead Space 2 was terrifying.
Probably Dead Space is shit.
I didn't like it.
Dead Space 3 is a bit
shit.
Because it's a survival horror game for the first two, and then in the third one it's like...
Pish.
Yeah,
Baywatch.
It's like fucking Call of Duty with
yeah.
like these monsters.
Right, okay.
Dead Space 2 was terrifying, scariest game I've ever played.
Absolutely. And it's just one of those things where it's quite a simple thing. It's like, kind of like zombies where they're reanimated corpses, they're infected with a space virus or something like that. And they come back to life, but they've got fucked up limbs.
Aye.
Where their limbs are not hands and feet, they're spikes. And then
okay.
you can't shoot them. Like the thing with monsters, like with zombies, like reanimated dead, where you shoot them
there's
in the
a
head.
Weakness.
You shoot them in the head. That's the thing. They teach you in films, they teach you in TV, they teach you in games.
You shoot them in the face.
If it happens in real life, you're aiming for the head. But that does not help you in this game, because if you aim for the head, they still come and they still catch and they still kill you. So what it's all about is like a limb, you've got to detach the limbs.
So you've got a kinetic power where you can
in the
physically
game, yes.
detach, you can detach their limbs.
You've got a slowdown power as well where
yeah.
you can kind of like, you can kind of chuck this stuff at them and it kind of slows them down and they slow down, and then you can like zero in and target the limbs and shoot all the different limbs off. Like butcher style.
Ah,
but that's not the scariest thing about them. That's just Well,
I was going to say, that's
that
gives
fucking
my
really
weakness.
Cool.
That gives my weakness.
But it's not,
no, but it's fucking, it's not, I mean, you don't aim for the head, their fucking head's a weakness.
Yeah, it's not a typical weakness, because you have to rip off one of their arms to shoot it through their chest. To kill them, and
you need to shoot multiple limbs to kill them. It's not that you just shoot an arm off and they go, oh.
I know.
It's not like you miss the head and they go, well, have you got me with the secret?
Oh, you got me with your gun. You
killed me with my own ankle. Oh.
And there's obviously that is the like the kind of the main baddie in it is these reanimated corpses with
the limbs.
Yes. But there's all different variations on the same theme. There's a fucking baby.
Oh my
who
god!
Who walks along?
Yeah.
And you think it's just a baby, but it's a reanimated dead baby.
Yeah, and it's horrible.
And then
its
back splits, and then six tentacles come out its back, and all six tentacles have to go down like the limbs go down. Like
this
you have to cut the limbs off. But the limbs aren't the limbs are the tentacles, it's fucked up.
But there's other like when you go like the nursery part on the old ship.
Oh,
they fucking explode! These babies fucking explode and you're just kinda
sounds
like
it's FAP material.
Man, if you liked horror games, you'd be all
FAP means that you would just have a wank fit.
FAP is the sound.
Is this FAP material to you?
Well, yes it is. Guilty as
they're
necromorphs. Honestly, I swear to God, this is the most fucked up fucking thing. Like, in the last 5 years, definitely the most fucked up thing I've seen, witnessed, and the game itself puts you in the place first person.
First person.
And you shit yourself. It's third. And it's made like there's no. I don't know. Like, I don't want to get into the game too much, but.
It's
amazing.
They're creepy as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And the baddies in it are creepy as fuck.
And we'll rotate that around, Greg.
Cool. Number three. For me, is...
Number three, that was one.
Well, no, but I've got three. So
oh, mate.
All right, well, that was my number three. On to Greg's number three.
My number three is Alien. From the Alien movies.
Faces are thereof, or...
No, just seen everything. Mm-hmm. Just fucking everything about the Alien films. I think it's because my dad decided it was a good idea for me to watch the Alien films when I was like six.
It was a great idea.
It was a great idea. maybe that's why I'm not a huge fan of sci-fi, because every time I watch sci-fi now, my fucking bumhole just explodes. the Alien films, even though I love the Alien, and I feel that the Alien has been like underwhelmed because they've ruined the Alien by doing like Alien versus Predator
and Predator's film,
all that shite. Because basically they've now made the Alien, who is like a really terrifying foe humans, in the Alien movies. They've made them shit because they've been like, oh, we hunt them, Predators hunt them, and all that.
Predators hunt them,
and
all that. Aye.
Shite. I was going to pick Predator, but I think Predator's done more harm than good. In the movie world, so I
Predator's like almost that one that's like it could be human in the films, like it's like it's kind of got that kind of
it's very humanoid,
it does
like it's morally kind of ambiguous, like it
no,
like
but,
it wants
but
to
that
go
film ruined it, man. Like they end it, Alien versus Predator, like Predator,
they're
like
Robinson Crusoe at the end of it,
they do some stupid shit.
No, but Predator gives the wifey like an alien skull as a shield. It goes, as a shield, there's a spear, you're with me, and I'm like, it's not fucking 300.
It's not like a take your turn sort of Monkey Island game where you just make battles by a Predator.
That film ruined it, but the original trilogy of Alien. The first two, man. Alien is fucking horrible.
I'll tell you what, right? Dark Horse Comics did Aliens vs. Predator, and it was fucking amazing. And what the Predators did was they were exclusive. At this time, they were exclusively different film franchises. And because the Predators were a nation or a planet of hunters, what they did was they would capture an alien queen.
Uh-huh.
Who would produce eggs. And then they'd put this queen in a spaceship, and then they'd take it to like an abandoned planet, and then they'd get this queen to lay eggs on the planet. So then they'd take trainee, like 18-year-old rookie predators, and they'd dump them on the planet, and then whoever came out whoever survived.
It's like Battle Royale with
it pretty much was, but it was just done.
But see, well. even that, man, even that takes away the genius alien. Like,
well,
I mean,
the alien designs are creepy as fuck. Like, I can't look at them without getting like.
This sounds right gay, but when I was in school, I studied the H.R. Geiger, or whatever his name is. That is his name. He designed the aliens, and like, there's a bar, I think it's
what subject did you study?
Switzerland. What was that?
What subject did you study H.R. Geiger in?
Art.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. And there's a bar in like Switzerland that's all based on the alien design, and it looks fucking incredible. I'd love to go to it. But, man, at the same time, I was like, just the look of the alien is just creepy. They've managed to get everything into one thing and say, this is alien.
Is it even within that face where you see like that massive, like, sort of backwardsly protruding head, and you see
the teeth coming out of the.
Is it like the big massive tongue thing that's also an alien?
Aye.
Like, even seeing that, there's the two eyes, there's the nose and the mouth, and it's still almost humanoid.
But the whole thing's iconic. No, but the thing is,
because
Predator's face looks like a vagina. And that
Predator's face is ugly. That's the thing about him. In the films and in the comics and in media, a lot of the time they have the mask, you know, covering up all that kind of stuff. And then in the final arc, eventually, it will be removed or it will be dislodged, and then they will
see
be like.
I think that's
pretty cool as well, too. So, like, you're waiting for it, and then you see it, and you go, fuck me, that's horrible.
I still think Predator's evil overrated. But anyway, carry on.
I've got choices now. I'm going to go straight on a family friendly. I'm going to go for what I think is a really fucking cool monster. Is a Charizard from Pokemon.
Oh, God.
There is no reason why nobody would not want a Charizard. Like, it's like a big dragon, dinosaur, fire-breathing motherfucker of a monster that obeys absolutely everything that you say. It's within a game, but... You've got like a big fire-breathing dragon dinosaur.
Charizard is a cool Pokemon, but at the same time...
It's a monster. Pokemonsters.
He's a Pokemon.
He's a Pokemon.
Pokemon Monsters.
No one has ever seen a film where Charizard rips somebody apart.
Who cares? He's destroyed many a gym leader. I would happily... have a Charizard as my pet.
Oh, of course you would.
I'll
think of the money you would make. You could have your own friend show.
Well, if everyone
else around his Charizard, just walk about the streets setting fire things.
If everyone else had a Pokemon, it maybe not be as interesting, but you can take your monster, your dragon, dinosaur, fire breathing thing, and put it up against like. I don't know, what's another shite Pokemon? A Jigglypuff.
No,
for the purposes of this conversation, Charizard could absolutely destroy a Slowpoke.
In the world of Pokemon, Charizard is like
King.
Quite high up.
No, fuck that, man. King. A Jigglypuff would hammer him. Jigglypuff puts him to sleep, fuck it.
This isn't a Pokemon conversation.
I really think it is. Let's move on.
Charizard's a king.
Charizard's
king amongst Pokemon.
He's losing
Johnny.
It.
Shut up, man. King amongst Pokemon.
Johnny.
We still got time.
We got plenty of time. We've got like 8 minutes.
We've got all night, man. We've got all night.
You know a good monster that I like?
Mm-hmm.
Is
Charizard.
That guy Charizard.
Let's talk about Charizard again. So,
you know a good monster. Did you two play Resident Evil 3 at any time or point in your lives? No.
I can't remember.
Carry on. Yeah.
There was a character in that like that was they was called Nemesis.
Oh yeah, okay. I know Nemesis.
You know Nemesis from what, Raccoon City, the shoot 'em up?
I know Nemesis from Resident Evil. One of the Resident Evil games, he's in that. He's also in one of the films, and he's...
Oh, wait,
the...
Yeah.
He's a guy from Ugly Betty.
Was he in the first one?
No, he's in the second.
I think it's
some guy from Ugly Betty plays Nemesis in the film. That's all I know.
What a resume!
All I know is
Ugly Betty,
this guy from this evil, really uncool TV show that I watch all the time.
Whoa! Ugly Betty, man, was amazing. I watched Ugly Betty like every Sunday morning when I was hungover.
Let's move on from there. Nemesis was obviously as scary as Ugly Betty, and the next one.
Are we going for my one next?
Yeah.
Are you finished?
You've just said Ugly Betty, and that's done, right? Okay.
Sorry. Do you want my second choice or my number one?
Your number one. I want your number one.
My number one scariest monster of all time, and even now, when I see him, it makes my fucking bumhole tighten.
By the way, that's a great show.
I literally have lost years of sleep because of Jaws. Right? There's two memories in my mind that come forward. One, my older cousin was at my gran's one night, and she was like, "Oh, there's a film coming around called Jaws, we've got to go and watch it." And I was that whole kind of like, "Yeah, I want to be cool, let's go watch it." I sat and watched Jaws, not knowing anything about it, and I just wanted to shut down inside. Like, I got halfway through it and was like,
there's a point where you've seen Jaws and you think to yourself, every time I jump in a pool now, Jaws is going to be there.
Every time I sit on the toilet,
there's a chance
Jaws is going to be there. I put the shiver on, Jaws will eat me. Now, when you look back on it now, Jaws is like a cardboard box with teeth, right? But see, at the time when I watched Jaws, even talking about it, man,
you're in a sweat.
Man, I fucking hate Jaws. Like, I properly hate Jaws. I used to be so scared of Jaws, even when I was walking down the street, I'd be scared of Jaws. Even though it's factually incorrect.
Somebody opens a bottle of water and you're kind of like, fuck me, wait a minute.
Jaws would get off a bus and like eat me. Like, I was so scared. I'm still scared of Jaws. Like, even when I watch a film, the film is so bad now, it's not dated out at all. Even when I watch a film, I still get that whole childhood fear of Jaws. I fucking hate Jaws.
I really want to see Jaws get off a bus.
Take cinema, mate, please. Go eat this boy.
Right.
Ah, man, I fucking hate Jaws. Anyway, I fucking hate Jaws.
Right, we're game. The Cloverfield Monster. I found the Cloverfield Monster in that film one of the most terrifying things ever in any film. I think it's mostly because of the found footage aspect of it. I'm a huge fan of found footage stuff. I just find it like believable. I don't know why. It's just it just seems more believable than anything else. And the Cloverfield Monster, like, just coming out of the sea and destroying everything in New York. I don't know. It just looked like this massive parasite that, like, if you even looked at, like, even if you were out on the streets, it would definitely kill you. Like, even the little things that
it was like a big tripod, didn't it? It was like three legs.
It was amazing. I thought it was.
Do you know what it looked like? It actually looked like one of the bad guys from the new Godzilla film. That's what it reminded me of. I had like sort of three legs and the whole kind of I wasn't big on the Cloverfield movie. The Cloverfield monster. I like the film.
But Godzilla came out like well after.
But
I think Cloverfield 2008, Godzilla 2014.
You know when you see a dog that has no back legs and it has like little wheels?
That's basically the Cloverfield monster.
Yeah, and I felt like I could sort of like I could just get in a car and drive away from it.
Tommy, finish this section off with vigor. Well, finish off Nemesis first if you want.
No. I think we need to touch on this subject again. Actually, I think this needs to be the theme of a future podcast because we've all picked different monsters for different reasons and creatures and things like that. And
that's your book.
You know, it can be because oh, they're really scary, or oh, it fucking freaks you out, or oh, because, you know, I had the Pokemon when I was young.
Look at his face.
I've had the Pokemon when I was 20 fucking six. 2 years ago.
2 years ago,
had
yeah.
a Charizard, so...
See if Tommy's face could kill my...
Tommy, get a Pokemon.
Right, I think we need to have another creature feature, and it'd be a round robin, where you have to go up against each creature.
A versus. I fucking love that.
You need to go up against them, and there are specific guidelines and brackets where it's like most scariest.
I'm using John
most
again.
Most Pokemon-ish.
Spoilers.
Or most something else.
Most Pokemon-ish.
Well, whatever. You know, it has to be broken up into brackets of scariness. So, you know, Richard picked things because, you know, he liked the Pokemon monsters. They're not scary, but it's just...
They can, like, I tell you what, a Pokemon could beat the shit out of alien.
Fuck off.
And that is where this part of the podcast is awesome. This part of the podcast is giving birth to another section where I'm gonna make the case for a Charizard beating alien.
I'm gonna fucking shoot you down.
What did Ripley beat alien with? Was it fire?
Dude, you can beat Charizard by being like, come back.
No. That's not answering
the question. Blastoise.
What did Ripley beat
fire.
Alien with?
Fire.
Fire.
You know it's fire.
Charizard. Fire. Boom.
Yeah, but he can't go up against water. Sure. I could get a fucking super soaker.
Bulbasaur. There you go. That guy's got like tank
that's
like
his weakness,
water
man.
Cannons.
That's
man,
that's
you, Blastoise. You were talking about this like you didn't like Pokemon. Come on.
Come on, Tommy. We're better than that.
We're going to come back to this in another podcast, and until then,
let's get out. I reckon Jaws could beat Charizard, it's in the water.
Tommy's just walked out of the room.
Genuinely.
I think that's the ideal place to end this.
This is, right, let's give it a ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, that was quite something. And,
oh my goodness, I am spent.
He is spent.
I'm completely spent. I've just spooged so much geekness all over this podcast.
It's
I'm
going to
go for a lie down and a snooze.
You can contact us as always on Twitter, which is at Desert Wales, Instagram at The Desert Wales, Facebook, which is just search for The Desert Wales, and if you want to email us, it's thedesertwales@gmail.com. And Greg, one word to sign us off.
Ding, 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 ding.